Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for listening to me on your Sunday evenings. I really do appreciate it. Okay, we got a number of things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the 10 terrorist groups that are operating in the United States or have operated in the United States over the last few years that I want you to be aware of. And then we're also going to be talking about the 10 warning signs that terrorists may be active in your community. So get your pens and paper ready as always. And then also how to report any type of terrorist activity that you may see as well. But before we get into that, you know, I always, anytime a police officer goes down, you know that I always talk about that. We had a recent shooting in Sacramento. Unfortunately, a young officer, she's only been on the force for a year, Tara O'Sullivan. She was 26 years old. A gunman opened fire on her this past week while she was responding to a domestic disturbance call, trying to help a woman collect her belongings and leave a home in northern Sacramento. You know, people don't realize, but police officers, that these types of domestic disturbances are really the worst kind of calls we can. I've known a number of police officers that have been, and it's a sad situation for everybody, because here's a woman in this particular case trying to get away from a relationship and had to call for assistance. And here's a female police officer trying to help her with her belongings, etc. And she gets killed in the process. Now, the other part of it is that, and the saddest part, is that she's only been there on the force for a year. And after she went down, it really took almost 45 minutes to get her to the hospital because of the gunfire from the individual inside, who, by the way, surrendered eventually after a number of hours of holding off the law enforcement personnel that had showed up. But he kept shooting for at least 2 hours, and that was bad. The negotiators tried to negotiate with him. He threw his cell phone out in the road, or out the door, I should say. They had a robot take it back into him so that they could continue trying to talk to him. And, you know, this young lady had only been working for them since January of 2018, and apparently she was a part of a first class of graduates of Sacramento State's Law Enforcement Candidate Scholars Program from 2017, and then she went on to the Sacramento Police Academy. And this is the first, you know, this is the first death that they've had, apparently, in 20 years. The perpetrator finally gave up after 7 hours, but she died. The police officer died at UC Davis Medical Center hours after he had shot her. So our condolences go out to the family. These things, in my opinion, are always sad. I know some people out there don't look at it the same way. But look, I always tell you, these police officers are out there trying to do their jobs. Some of them make mistakes. It happens. That's unfortunate. But here's a woman that was actually trying to help another woman under those circumstances and lost her life as a police officer. Okay, let's keep moving. I always like to go through the emails, as you know, so that's part of my regular routine. So let's take a look at this now. Jim, by any chance, did you hear about that city in Florida that had to pay $600,000 to hackers? I remember you talked about things like that last year on your show. I guess they should have listened to your show. Van from South Bend, Indiana. Well, that's true. I guess they should have listened to it. But I have to tell you, and for those of you who have not heard about that, let me kind of, you know, I always like to fill you in just to make sure that you understand exactly what the person that wrote in told me. And by the way, before I forget, you know, you can always call in if you have any questions or anything to 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. Or you can just go to the website and always pick up the number off of that as well. Or you can do like so many people do. They email me with questions. You can email me at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. That's listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. And if you want to get my blogs or email blast about upcoming show topics, hey, text me. Text me at Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and simply enter your email address, and then you'll get the topics. I think it's going to be like this. That's Thursday, Friday, the latest when you get the topics for the upcoming show. Again, that's text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and simply enter into your email address. Okay, yeah, let's talk about that city in Florida, because they agreed to pay hackers $600,000 in ransom to save their computer records. And yes, we have definitely talked about this before. These hackers, and I'm telling you, those are some dangerous people out there. And by the way, they're national and international, so let's keep it real. It's not just from here. These hackers apparently got into the city's system when an employee clicked on an email link that allowed them to upload malware. I can tell you in my office, we tell employees all the time, do not click on emails that look either strange to you, it's out of the line, it's out of place, out of sorts, whatever the case may be. If it looks weird, don't click on it. Now, these hackers got the $600,000 payday for breaching the public records. The FBI, I got to tell you, they don't support paying off hackers. You know, but the Florida town apparently voted unanimously to do so, following in the footsteps, quite frankly, of a lot of different other government agencies, which I don't understand. I do not understand why these government agencies don't have these things protected to the hilt, quite frankly. $600,000? Wow, that's a lot of money. But that's the latest of attacks worldwide, guys, aimed at extorting money from government and businesses. Let's not leave that out. Now, this particular city, the Riviera Beach City Council, voted unanimously to do this, to pay this off. They felt that they had no choice, you know, in order to retrieve those records. The hackers encrypted everything is what they did. So in order to sort it out, get the information, they had to pay $600,000. Now, I can tell you that they also voted to spend now almost $1 million on new computers and hardware after the hackers captured the city's system. So that's kind of after the fact, but now they realize the seriousness of it. For those of you that have heard me give speeches on the impact of domestic terrorism in America and the impact of domestic terrorism in the workplace, what do I tell? People have to prepare for these things beforehand. After the fact, it's too late. Here's another example of that. You know, so at any rate, that's, you know, these things about hackers, and I'm going to tell you, here's the real deal. Some of these hackers that do it, they take their money. There's no guarantee that once the hacker, that get the money, that they're going to release the records. In fact, they've shown in the past where some of these hackers have done that, taken the money and then not released the information, you know? So you have all of that going on. Now, what they do, the hackers demand payment in the cryptocurrency Bitcoin. And then while it's kind of possible to trace Bitcoins as they're spent, the owners of the accounts aren't necessarily known, making it a favored payment method in ransomware attacks. So once again, it's all about technology and the things that people are able to do now. Technology, in many respects, is a wonderful thing, but there's a lot of downsides to it, too, because the criminals are always going to figure out how to use it to their benefit and not for your benefit. Now, I can tell you that the city of Baltimore was in a similar situation, and the hackers wanted $76,000. That was last month. And Baltimore told them, no, we're not paying it. So, you know, I say good for them. Now, I told you it's international as well. I can tell you the United States government has indicted some Iranians over the last year for allegedly unleashing more than 200 ransomware attacks, including against the cities of Atlanta and Newark, New Jersey. Now, these men have been arrested, but they got more than $6 million in payment and caused $30 million in damage to computer systems. That's a lot of money. So, you know, it's a situation where these things are going to continue happening. So those of you that are business owners out there that are listening, make sure that you've got your systems tight. Make sure you're telling your employees, don't just click on these emails that they don't know. Because I can tell you that the federal government even last year accused North Korea, a North Korean program, of committing a WannaCry attack that infected government, bank, factory, and hospital computers in 150 countries. He also was believed to have stolen $81 million from a Bangladesh bank. And he, where does he remain? He remains in his home country. So he's safe. Well, let me tell you, even the FBI says businesses need to back up their data regularly on a secure computer. That's what we do. We do everything we're supposed to do to protect the interests of our clients. So at any rate, look, that's, so in response, Van, there it is, you know. So it's, these kind of attacks by hackers, well, they're out there, and we got to be careful. All right, second email. Jim, I know you don't get into the politics, but what is your opinion about people that have tried to sneak into the country that might be terrorists? Brian, El Paso, Texas. Well, I'll tell you, I'll give more of data than anything else because in terms of some statistics, believe it or not, they've had 15 terrorist suspects caught trying to cross the border down there, guys. 15 have been caught trying to cross the United States-Mexican border. Now, you know, again, you're right. I don't get into the politics of it, but obviously I'm very security-minded, and if we can do something to help protect ourselves on our southern flank, because you've heard me say it before, that these individuals, they're not coming through Canada, they're not coming by air, they're not coming by sea. They're going to come up through our southern borders. I mean, that's just what it is. They had a situation in Canada. This was, I think, last year or so, where they had a Somali national named Abdullah Sharif, and he was detained in Alberta, Canada, for allegedly stabbing a police officer. You guys might remember that one on the news, and conducting two vehicle ramming attacks, and he did that while carrying an ISIS flag. Now, I can tell you it was later determined that he had been smuggled through Latin America and Mexico and came across the California border. This stuff speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. And federal prosecutors have also convicted other people. You know, I know one off the top of my head was a Pakistani that got smuggled that was based in Brazil. And this individual transported between 25 and 99 illegal immigrants from Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Afghanistan through Brazil and brought them in through Texas and California. They illegally entered through the Mexican border. So, I mean, to answer your question, and this to me is not about politics. I know people wrap politics around it. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying simply from a security standpoint that we need to secure our borders. Now, I'm not taking sides, but I think the politicians in general need to get together with this and figure it out and stop arguing about it. There's a solution out there. They need to just get together, and I'm talking on both sides. Okay, third email. You know I always like to read three. Did you see that transgender shooter from the school shooting in Colorado a month or so ago? He says he was attacked because the school kids made fun of him. How can he justify killing people or based upon comments? He brought it on himself, Bobby. He didn't put the city or state or anything in there. So, Bobby, I'm sure you must be listening. First of all, when you say he brought it on himself, I'm going to take more of a neutral opinion about that because we do have members of our community that are transgender, and it's not a question of whether or not they're transgender or what their lives are that may be different from anybody else's. Let's just say that any individual can react to things that people say about them despite their sexual orientation, their age, their race, their national origin, etc. But these are also kids in schools. Kids have a tendency to tease. It's always been around. It's probably always going to be around. I know we do the education out there. We talk about these things, but people still do these things. Now, to get specific for people who do not recall, because again, I always like to make sure I fill in the listeners in case they don't know about the situation. But this individual is a high school student, and he was charged in a classmate death during that Colorado shooting about a month or so ago. And he told the police that he had planned the attack for weeks and intended to target classmates because they repeatedly mocked his gender identity. Now, there are interviews. He's 16 years old. He was the leader of the attack, and he got assistance from another individual as well. And the plan was to kill students who had bullied McKinney, not necessarily the other individual. All right. So both teenagers told police that they actually, because this always comes up, where'd they get the guns from? Well, let me tell you where they got the guns from. Both teenagers told police that they broke into a gun safe at one of the teenagers' homes and before walking into the STEM school Highlands Ranch. And this was on the afternoon of May 7th. They had a guitar case and a backpack where they concealed these weapons. Now, McKinney said he wanted the kids in the school to experience bad things, have to suffer from trauma like he had to do all of his life. He just wanted someone at the school to suffer and realize that the world is a bad place. So both of these teenagers, you guys, are charged with murder and attempted murder in the shooting. And I got to tell you, McKinney, even though he's ill, he's being charged as an adult. Now, his attorneys have said that they plan to ask a judge to move the case back to juvenile court. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. Adult crime, sometimes these guys get, you know, underage. They get tried as adults. I mean, that's part of it. You know, if any of the listeners have an opinion about that, I mean, they kill people. Should they be tried as an adult if they're under 18? Or should they be tried as juveniles because they're under 18? So should they be tried as an adult act, all right, and they're under 18? Or because they're under 18, automatically they should be tried as juveniles? So anybody has any thoughts on that, you guys can either call or send me an email about it. Okay, now, here's something that I did not know, and I did a little more research on this because I wanted to get caught up on it. And that was when they did the investigation, it was a security guard there that responded to the gunfire who accidentally shot a female student. Now, that initially did not come out. Yeah, there was a security guard there. She was inside of a classroom. So the bullet had to have gone through, you know, and into the classroom. And he had fired twice, you know, also at a Douglas County Sheriff Lieutenant. So this security guard, see, this is what I tell people on this show about wanting to get CCWs, get guns and things of that nature. You can see that when these situations come up, it is not that simple. This guy's a security guard. And I'm not saying anything, any negative things out there about any security guards. They provide services to people. I understand that. I get that. But when you're talking about that you got a school shooter and this guy is blasting away and he accidentally shoots a female student and he also shoots at the Douglas County Sheriff Lieutenant that responded to the call as well. I mean, come on. People panic behind these kind of things. So, again, another reason why, as I've said in the past, I am just simply not an advocate of certain people having guns and things of that nature. It takes a lot to be able to shoot calmly in those situations. This guy is a security guard. Not only did he accidentally shoot a female student who was in a classroom. So it wasn't like she was in the hallway, possibly where he was. And then he also took two shots at the lieutenant that responded. At any rate, I don't know. Like I told you, this stuff is just not that simple, and we got to understand that. Okay. Having gotten that off my chest, let's keep moving. Now, look, I want to go into this business about the 10 terrorist organizations that have been operating in the United States. And these, I'm going to go back over the last few years with some of these, because sometimes with these terrorist organizations, some are up, some are down, and this is on the domestic terrorism side. Some of these, in my opinion, are fly-by-night. They happen, and then they, you know, do a particular event, and then they disappear. But you might remember, and the first one that I'm going to deem as number 10, you remember when they had the Occupy Wall Street situation? That was a few years ago. Let me tell you something. First of all, there's been, since the attacks on 9/11, there's been global initiatives to stop terrorism that have taken place around the globe, period. All right? There's a lot of attention that is being focused on international terrorism. And for those of you that have heard me speak, you know what I'm talking about. It's always talking about the international terrorism piece. with so much attention focused on one particular area, meaning that area, it's easy to forget that there are domestic terrorism groups in our own backyard that people, you know, that we don't think about. All right? Now, unlike foreign terrorist organizations, these particular individuals who are deemed to be criminals do not need to attempt a risky border crossing. They're already here. They are already here. And we have to be paying attention to these things. And despite their lack of publicities, these homegrown organizations do cause internal problems more regularly than many would believe. It's just that simple. And, you know, Americans, we just take so much for granted, in my opinion. But you remember, well, this one organization, like I said, Occupy Wall Street, they really are not officially designated as a terrorist organization. And the FBI investigated that movement. Members of that particular Occupy Wall Street, they were very upset at the label when anybody even suggested that they may have been a terrorist group. But you got to understand what that is. They have to understand what the terrorism is. It's things that do what? I've told you that before. People use that to inflict fear, intimidation, all of those things. So whether they want to be deemed to be that way just because they may have thought they had a good cause, that doesn't mean anything. Now, I will also say that their intent was to be a peaceful movement. But how do you say that when I'm sure you recall some of the behaviors of some of these individuals? You know, so no, it doesn't go from it goes to more than that. And I'll tell you something else. Millions of dollars worth of property had been destroyed by that organization. There was even a fire in Fort Collins that damaged numerous homes and condominiums. Yet they say that they were a peaceful organization. There were even reports of assaults, rapes, rampant drug use, and murders emerged also from nearly every Occupy Wall Street gathering, along with a lengthy list of property crimes, including stealing and vandalism. At numerous gatherings, self-appointed leaders urged all who would listen to lead a violent campaign against economic freedom, while others have chanted for the execution, you know, of the different presidents that are in place. I mean, you know, how is that going to be a peaceful organization? Peaceful? That's not peaceful. Now you see why when we talk about domestic terrorism, this is an example of it. They may have thought that they were doing a good job with this. But I remember a headline in the newspaper on this that they said that the revolution begins at home. Now, this whole concept about the revolution, give me a break. They did that during the 60s and the 70s, going to get this revolution going. Well, listen, we are far from a revolution, and it's just simply not going to happen just like that. I mean, so at any rate, that gives you an example how an organization started out because they were protesting the economic conditions or whatever, however they felt about it at the time. But they were there for a number of weeks. And you heard what I told you about the damage, millions of dollars worth of damage, murders, rape, all kinds of things, property damage. Come on. And you're telling us that that's a peaceful movement? No. That's why they were deemed as a terrorist organization from the domestic terrorism standpoint. You guys can look that one up. Occupy Wall Street. You might remember that one. Not to mention the fact, what about the trash that they had to clean up after that and everything? It was horrible, if you guys recall. You know, when these people finally left, the place was in shambles, especially in New York. It was in shambles. The amount of trash and everything that they left behind that had to be cleaned up by the city of New York. At any rate, that was number 10 on my list. The next one I want to talk about is number 9 on my list. That one is called Phineas Priesthood. I'm going to spell that for you. P-H-I-N-E-A-S. Phineas Priesthood. And I know you guys are out there saying, what? What the heck is that? Well, let me tell you something. The Phineas Priesthood, that's a Christian-based terrorist organization that does use violence to promote its hateful message. And despite their supposed Christian roots, the priesthood preaches hate to virtually everyone that is different from them. They protest interracial relationships, homosexuality, abortion, Judaism, multiculturalism, and taxation. Okay, the taxation piece, I'm not going there. But there's a lot of issues about taxation. I don't want to say that I necessarily agree with Phineas on that one, but sometimes the taxes do get kind of exorbitant. So these guys want to speak out about that. But if you look at the other categories that they're talking about, I mean, these guys are off the charts. They desire Christian-only nation composed solely of whites, and the members of the priesthood have carried out attacks on abortion clinics and doctors in the past and are labeled as a terrorist organization by the FBI. Now, you know, right now in the news, we've been hearing a lot about abortions, anti-abortion. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about some of the acts that have been committed by organizations and individuals regarding attacks on abortion clinics and things of that nature, so the anti-abortion movement. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be talking a little bit more about that, since that appears to be a really hot topic on the news right now. And again, I'm not taking sides on which one, you know, is right or wrong. I'm simply going to be talking about some of the activity that has been conducted along those lines. Once again, it'll show you how people can start out one way, and, you know, because they have their cause. But look, damage and people getting hurt, things of that nature, it changes things. So this Phineas priesthood, you know, and they've been around for a while, by the way. Most people don't even know who they are, but they're very active, and that's why I have them as number nine. Again, you don't hear about the, you know, the organizations all the time, but it just goes to show you how these organizations operate in the country, and people on a general, you know, from a general standpoint, don't know about these. So I'm just trying to enlighten people, and in the upcoming months, I'm going to be talking about other organizations also. Now, number eight on the hit parade is the Jewish Defense League. Now, don't be sending me any hate mail about this. I know that there's different feelings about the Jewish Defense League. There's people out there that don't feel that they're a domestic terrorism organization, et cetera. I understand all of that. I'm only informing the general public about different groups that have been viewed as domestic terrorist organizations that are operating within the United States. If you got a difference of opinion about it, I get that. I can certainly respect that, for sure. Now, there's another religious group using violence to promote its message. And I can tell you something from that perspective. They say we'll stop at nothing to end anti-Semitism. And now, I get that, because they had to form their group because of a lot of anti-Semitism going on. And that part, I understand that. But in the same breath, it criticizes acts of terrorism. But they're a religious group that used violence to promote their message that's going to stop at nothing to end anti-Semitism. And look, I get that. They feel like they're fighting back. People of the Jewish community have been fighting for, obviously for thousands of years, so to speak. And so they may think that they are doing the right thing to protect who they are. But they got to understand if that's the case, and they're not going to stop, you know, and be using any means in which to end anti-Semitism, then why do you think that that's not going to be, you know, terrorism? And, of course, if you're in the United States doing this especially, you're going to deemed to be a terrorist organization. Now, this is another group that's been around for a while. The Jewish Defense League was actually established way back in 1968, and it got known for its harsh criticism of the Soviet Union. And at its peak, the Jewish Defense League had about 15,000 members that were willing to fight for their cause. And the FBI has investigated them, they kind of noted that at least 15 terrorist attacks were committed by them. Now, in the 1980s alone, they operated with these violent attacks. So even though they started in 68, they created themselves to the point where they are now listed as a domestic terrorism group. Now, the head of the JDL has been arrested in the past. Reason being is that being plotted to blow up a mosque in Los Angeles. Now, look, a mosque by itself, in my opinion, how do you blow up the mosque? Okay, because they're Muslim, you're Jewish, the Muslims don't like you supposedly, okay? So now you go there and you blow up their mosque. What sense does that make? If you're an organization that believes, okay, that you're fighting to save your own lives, et cetera, how do you take an affirmative action? I mean, you know, the name of it is the Jewish Defense League, and I get that. But I can understand if somebody's attacking you and now you're fighting back. I get that. But to arbitrarily blow up a mosque, in my opinion, I don't necessarily agree with that, because then you're taking the action against them based on their ideology and their faith the same way you are trying to fight back against that. So I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, these kind of things have to be done by peaceful means. Again, I'm not saying that an organization doesn't have a right to defend people. If you're in the heat of battle, somebody's got a gun and you want to defend yourself, that's one thing. But when you say anti-Semitism, you know, if it's not a physical aggression against you, then use the court system. That's what it's there for. You know, so that's how I look at it. Now, I get it. They have a desire to end terrorism, oppression, and poverty. And they have turned into the type of organization that they originally planned to fight against. That's what's so interesting. The reason they originally established themselves was because of the fact that they wanted to fight against this, to protect themselves. But now they've turned into an aggressive organization, so they've gotten away from what their intended purpose was at the beginning. So, at any rate, number 7 on my hit parade, Earth, is going to be the Earth Liberation Front. All right, so number 7 now is the Earth Liberation Front. I have spoken to people about this before. It's called ELF, E-L-F. Now, I can tell you, though, although they're prominent in the United States, this organization has cells in countries all throughout the Western world. They call themselves ELVES. They utilize guerrilla warfare tactics in an attempt to halt the destruction of our ecosystem. That's what they do. And they will use anything, any means, in order to stop that. That's why they don't like these RV centers, like for the parks and things of that nature. Yeah, and let me tell you, they'll use tactics to destroy expensive and important infrastructures, including power lines and businesses. And I can tell you that the attacks in the United States often involve the use of fire. They burnt down ski resorts, logging camps, and park ranger offices. They've also attacked numerous fast food locations, most notably McDonald's, if you're ready for that one. So you look at these things, and you say, well, wait a minute, why would they attack McDonald's? I have no idea. You know, McDonald's, unless it was in a place that was built, you know, because it's far out there and it's in an area where they had to destroy maybe trees, things of that nature in order to build it, that's probably something that had to do with it, I would imagine. They even destroyed a laboratory at Michigan State University, claiming that the laboratory is being used to create genetically modified organisms. So, I don't know. Look, they're out there. There's no doubt about it. And they're destructive. Can't put it any other way. The CIA at one time had ELF, and the other one was ALF, okay? And I'm going to be talking about that one as well. But they had ELF and ALF listed as the number one terrorist organizations in this country at one time because the amount of damage that they did was greater than some of these other things. When you think about some of these other events from a terrorist standpoint, these events are done and over. Organizations like this continue throughout the years. That's what's so tough about them. All right. Now, number 6 on my hit parade is the Army of God. The Army of God. Yep. And people say, man, I never heard about these people. Well, here's what it is. I'm just telling you. These are kind of like the top 10 on the hit parade. Much like the Phineas Priesthood, this terrorist organization spins religious texts to harm others. And they often will use violence to combat abortion and homosexual activities. Now, they have actually attacked gay nightclubs and abortion clinics. This is another one. Their most notorious member, you guys might remember this. You remember Eric Rudolph? He's the one that planted that bomb at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia. He only killed 2 people, but he injured 150. Now, he later on explained without remorse that the bombing was a necessary action carried out to criticize the government for its abortion on demand viewpoints. Now, think about what we are going through right now with these politicians on abortions. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we get anything, any reaction from any of these organizations as that whole process moves through these various states with the issue about abortion. So we'll see. Fifth on my hit parade was the Animal Liberation Front. Now, they're called ALF for short, and they view themselves as a modern-day underground railroad for all creatures. Their attacks involve freeing animals from laboratories, farms, and factories. Now, they claim to be nonviolent and compare their actions to someone destroying gas chambers during the Holocaust. But in truth, you guys, these terrorists are causing millions of dollars worth of damage to innocent farmers and scientists, all while harming the animals they are attempting to save. It's hypocritical. They don't understand what they're doing with some of this. Many of these animals they release simply cannot survive in the wild. I had an FBI buddy of mine tell me one time that he was stationed in Denver, Colorado. And ALF came up there. There was a mink farm up there, a mink farm. And ALF went up there in the middle of the winter and freed 3,000 mink at night into the environment. All three of them froze. All 3,000 of them froze to death. I mean, you know, what they, I don't know what they think about sometimes and what kind of planning that they have with things like that, but that was ridiculous. So that's why a lot of the animals that they release simply cannot survive in the wild without proper care. Some of those animals are born in captivity. You know, look, let me just say, despite somebody's ideological views, animal testing has got to be an important step in healthcare, specifically in the development of new test treatment methods for diseases. Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense to me, but I understand protecting the animals. But animal abuse to me is a little bit different than what we're talking about with these things. And oftentimes these attacks disrupt the process and it prevents the introduction of special treatments and the cost of these companies. And it also costs these companies and consumers countless of dollars. Why? Because they have to start all over with the process, whatever the case may be. At any rate, there's a lot of causes out there, guys, that people fight for. Number four on my hit parade is called the Black Liberation Army. The Black Liberation Army was founded in 1970. All right? So this is not new. Now, I can tell you that 1970, I was at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and the Black Panthers were even on campus recruiting people during that time. But the BLA was founded in 1970, and the reason why it was an attempt to promote equal rights for African Americans through violence. And look, you know, that's a hot button topic for people. I get it. But to me, you cannot accomplish the change through violence. It just, it sets people at odds against you. Now, I will say that over the years, its strength has really diminished. So they probably have more of a limited number of followers now, but they are still out there is the point. And I can tell you that they've done a lot of bank robberies, and they've murdered at least 13 police officers. So, you know, they've been out there over the years. They're not as prevalent now as they have been in the past, but they're part of the top 10 of domestic terrorism organizations that have or still operate in this country. Number three on the hit parade is called Sovereign Citizens. Yep, that's the name of the organizations, Sovereign Citizens. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a recently formed group of followers. All right, and they have these different beliefs to promote violence and anarchism among the populace. Sovereign citizens believe that although they reside in the United States, they are sovereign from the government. And that with a mindset like that, they believe they don't have to pay taxes. Ask Wesley Snipes. Oh, I know I didn't say that. But anyway, part of these guys do those kind of things with this business about that there's some government code section that says you don't have to pay taxes. Let me tell you something. Don't listen to that. You know, Wesley found out the hard way with that and went to jail for 3 years and had to pay a number of millions of dollars. I don't remember what the exact amount was, but he had to pay. But these guys turn around and figure that they're going to get back at the government. You know, so they'll file thousands of frivolous cases a month in an attempt to clog the court system. They threaten judges and politicians that they think will threaten their way of life. And in some circumstances, the sovereign citizens have shot and killed law enforcement officers who have stopped them from minor violations such as speeding. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's something frightening about these individuals because they have no respect for any form of authority. And they are a new organization, guys. Number two on the hit parade, the Crips. The Crips. Now, I know for anybody out here in California is listening to this, the hair on the back of your neck just stood up. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Crips were founded in 1970 in Los Angeles. And that gang was originally formed to protect the neighborhood from outside threats. But since their inception, the Crips have grown to over 30,000 members across the United States and at military bases around the world. They hold no definite belief system and no agenda. They act only out of need and impulse with no regard for anyone else. Murder is commonly used to scare both the public and rival gangs. The Crips are also to blame for widespread use of PCP, crack cocaine, and amphetamines in the United States. They're one of the top distributors in the world, guys. These guys have turned into a business. And the FBI even acknowledges that the Crips are ruthless and unpredictable, and their deadly ways continue for over 40 years since their creation. Serious business. Top of the hit parade and number one, not going to be a surprise to you, the Ku Klux Klan. They are by far the most notorious organization on the list. The KKK has been wreaking havoc since 1865 with the end of the Civil War. Now, they were founded by Confederate veterans. They were a group that sought to restore white supremacy by assaulting freed slaves and those that aided them. And they had even assassinated prominent African Americans, including politicians, religious figures, and community leaders. Now, today, the KKK does focus on illegal immigration, homosexuals, urban criminals, and African Americans. The Klan laid forth the groundwork for nearly every white supremacist group that exists today. And as such, I'm going to tell you, they need to be held accountable for their actions. And this includes murder and assault of thousands of individuals throughout their history and frequent property crimes against minority households. So there you are. That's the top 10. Wanted to share those with you. And there we go. Now, let's talk about the 10 warning signs that terrorists may be active in your community. All right. Now, you heard me talk about these different groups. Let's talk about what to watch out for. Suspicious activity that's related to fireworks, guys. Fireworks. Let me tell you. Federal authorities have advised local law enforcement to take notice of anyone asking questions about fireworks that go beyond mere curiosity about the potentially damaged fireworks can cause. Now, authorities are worried that an extremist or lone wolf could repackage the explosive in fireworks, okay, and use these improvised explosive devices to hurt people. Now, there was a situation with a recent death about a Michigan man when a large mortar firework shell he was holding detonated. That served as a tragic reminder of just how dangerous fireworks can be. This is serious business. And you can get these fireworks. Some of these fireworks, you can buy them illegally in Mexico. People bring them across the border. Different counties have different rules regarding fireworks. But just keep an eye out. Suspicious activity related to fireworks. Now, probing or testing the perimeter of a fence facility or its security systems. Most attacks involve some form of reconnaissance. Watch to see what's going on. Is somebody checking out the neighborhood? Is somebody checking out fences, gates, doors, things of that nature? Sometimes this is as a cursory as snapping a few cell phone images for later review and planning. Other perpetrators will devote time to mapping out their routes, even studying the timing of traffic lights and commuter patterns. They may even embark on a rehearsal prior to the actual attack. See, this, I always talk about it being aware of what's going on around you. As you can see, this is simple. You just have to have the mindset that you're paying attention to these things. It's up to you. If you see somebody loitering or behaving in a suspicious way, say checking out like an employee only entrance at a shopping mall or examining the integrity of a fence along a regional airport or something, I don't want you to try to approach them yourself to get an explanation. Let law enforcement know that you see something that looks strange. Police receive inquiries like that all the time, guys. And as long as the call is sincere and genuine, they're happy to dispatch a police officer to check out the suspicious activity. All you have to do is help. You've heard me say it on the show before. Law enforcement cannot do it by themselves. They need your help. Now, another one. anybody setting down a backpack or bag in a crowded area and walking away, come on, that looks suspicious. Who's going to set their backpack down and walk away from it? Think about when you're at the airport. What do they say over the PA system? Hey, if somebody leaves a bag, do not leave bags unattended. If you see an unattended bag, notify security immediately. What do you think they're talking about? It's the same thing. It should trigger an immediate concern for you. While the behavior could be completely harmless, guys, I get that, but it's certainly suspicious and could preclude, to a devastating attack along the lines of the Boston Marathon. All right, because that's what they did. They set down a backpack and walked away. Then they had a pressure cooker. How do you just look at a pressure cooker sitting there? You walk past the who would leave a pressure cooker just sitting there? Those are the kind of things you got to pay attention to. If you see something, say something. Now, I will tell you also that inspecting bags and purses, being towed to major events, all you got to do is go to a major event. What do? They've got the security teams now. They go through your bag. It's for a reason. Now, let's talk about another one. Suspicious use of social media or the internet. Federal officials say that the Islamic State, ISIS, and other extremist groups are currently engaged on a daily basis in trying to use social media and the internet to recruit and radicalize disaffected citizens. What have I told you in the past? I told you that ISIS was boots on the ground. Al-Qaeda wasn't. Al-Qaeda always used this method. Now that ISIS has been basically run out of Syria, they are doing what? Now they're trying to get into people's heads. They are now starting to use the internet to recruit and radicalize. All right? This is what they're going to do. Watch your children. Make sure you're paying attention to what they are doing on the internet. I can tell you that the police earlier this year got a tip that a guy in Ohio, a young man in Ohio, was engaging in suspicious activity on social media. And because of the fact that they caught up with it, it helped them thwart an ISIS-inspired attack on the Capitol. They're looking out for these things. All right? This individual had planned to detonate pipe bombs, at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., all right, and then open fire on bystanders and responders during the ensuing chaos. All right? So look, you got to be careful. Terrorist group members and supporters will almost certainly continue to use social media platforms to disseminate English language violent extremist messages. You have to be paying attention to this. Now, next one, purchases of suspicious supplies. There can be a fine line between purchasing materials for ordinary use and stockpiling dangerous or suspicious items, explosives, weapons, and ammunition. The actual planning of an attack can involve more subtle purchases. Let me give you an example. Maps, uniforms, body armor, flight manuals, how-to books, and other materials needed to make passes or badges, or the equipment used to manufacture identity-related documents. Look, whether a purchase rises to the level of saying something to law enforcement probably depends on the content and intuition regarding that, the individual that's involved with it. So I still say use a little common sense with it, but there it is. All right? If you know somebody that's doing these things, you see these things happening, be aware. Now, here's another one to be careful about. Attempts at impersonation. Look, it needs to go without saying that people, trying to pass themselves off as someone they're not, that's going to be inherently suspicious. Look, beyond a masquerade ball, okay, it's difficult to imagine why it's a legitimate person would want to look like a police officer or a military member or a company employee when they clearly aren't. So watch out for impersonations. Again, if you see someone who seems suspiciously out of place, notify someone in authority. Don't try to take matters in your own hands. I can't stress that enough. I'm not telling you to be the one. I'm telling you to call law enforcement and let the professionals handle it. I don't want you to try to handle it on your own. Okay? That is dangerous business. Don't do it. Now, look, I always have so much fun with this, and then I look at the time, and the time looks like it's going. Look, I got a reminder. June 30th, guys, which is next week, I've been talking to you about things. I'm going to some other safety things regarding crowded places and mass gatherings. I'm also going to pick up where I just left off as well, because I want you to hear these additional tips as well as how to report possible terrorist activity. All right? Okay, it's always a pleasure on the air talking to you about this. I can't tell you how good I feel knowing that I'm getting the message out there to so many people about this as an issue. And it's always good getting feedback from people that I meet out there in the general public that say that they listen every week and that they're very happy that I'm doing this. I feel great about doing it, and I want you to be safe. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Be sure to join me next week. Hey, do me a favor. If you like what you heard, continue to spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe. More importantly, be a reluctant victim.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.